Our scripture for reading and studying today is Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, and we will read and study through verse 10. Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3 and going through verse 10. Now remember the setting here. In verses 1 and 2, Paul talked about a meeting of himself and the brethren that were in the church in Jerusalem. He tells us that he himself and Barnabas and Titus went to Jerusalem to meet with the brethren. And the reason they went was to discuss the false teaching of certain Jewish brethren in the church, because those men had taught the Gentile Christians that they couldn't be saved unless they kept the law of Moses. And that's what we read about in Acts 15, verse 1. They told those Gentile Christians who were saved that they could not be saved unless they kept the law of Moses. And Paul says that their teaching was a false doctrine. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, that teaching was another gospel. So Paul talks to these churches in Galatia about that meeting, and he tells them some things about himself and what happened. Why did Paul do that? Why is Paul talking so much about himself here? He wasn't bragging. He wasn't just trying to boast. But he did defend himself, because some of these Christians in the churches of Galatia, like some Christians in Corinth, had questioned his being an apostle. And so in this section, which started in Galatians 1, verse 11, and goes through chapter 2, in this section, Paul has several purposes. He has several aims in view. In the first place, he wants to assure these brethren that he is truly an apostle. He is just as much an apostle of Jesus Christ as Peter was or as John was. He's not any less of an apostle than the other ones. And in so doing, he's proving to them again that the gospel that he taught is the truth. If he's really an apostle, he's not going to lie to them. He's not going to teach them a false message. And as he talks about the gospel that he delivered and defended, he's using himself as an example to these people of one who stood for the truth. You see, what happened to these Christians was that they knew the truth. They knew the true gospel of Jesus Christ, but they gave in to these false teachers. And Paul is about to tell them in these verses that we're going to look at that he didn't do that. Paul stood up for the truth, and he did not give in, and he did not compromise. So these brethren had listened to the wrong preachers. They knew better. But these Judaizing teachers were pushy. They were aggressive. They were argumentative. And probably, for the most part, they knew their Old Testament much better than these Gentiles did, because these Jews had been taught the Old Testament from childhood, and the Gentiles just didn't know it very much at all, because they didn't have the background that these Jewish members did. And so these Judaizing teachers were more confident, and they had the upper hand, in a sense, on these Gentile converts. So Paul says that these Gentile Christians had given in to these Judaizers, but he assures them in Galatians chapter 2 that he didn't. And in fact, he's going to tell them that he stood for the true gospel no matter who he had to stand against. And this is what we see unfolding in Galatians chapter 2. He went to Jerusalem to talk with leaders in primarily Jewish churches. Now remember, the meeting was held in Jerusalem. And so the converts there are going to be primarily Jewish. That's what we see in verses 1 and 2. And here's what he begins to say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, about that meeting and what happened there. In verse 3, he said, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Notice what happened. In verse 3, Paul said, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." These Judaizing brethren tried to get Titus to obey their teaching and be circumcised. Now, he was a Greek. Titus was not a Jew. He had been brought up as a Gentile, and as a result, he had not been circumcised. He had never kept the law of Moses like the Jews had. But these Jewish Christians were saying that Titus could not be saved unless he submitted to the law of Moses. So they were really working on him, and they were trying to convince him that he had to do this. Paul says they tried to compel him to be circumcised, and they were telling him that he could not be saved unless he did. So they tried their best to persuade him to do this, but Titus would not submit to it, and Paul would not go along with it. Now, it's interesting that this man, Titus, is the man that Paul wrote a letter to called the Book of Titus. And if you'll notice in the Book of Titus, Paul wrote about these Judaizing teachers in chapter 1 of the Book of Titus, Titus 1, verses 10 through 16. He called them the circumcision because they were telling these Gentiles that they had to be circumcised. So when Paul wrote to Titus later in Titus chapter 1, here's what he told Titus to do with these Judaizing teachers. He said in Titus chapter 1, verse 13, rebuke them sharply. So Paul is saying, don't give in. You hold your ground because these men are causing trouble and division in the body of Christ, and they need to be rebuked sharply. Now, notice how he described these Judaizing teachers in verse 4. He said, and that because of false brethren. He calls them false brethren. Paul did not water this down. He didn't hesitate to tell the truth on this. They are false brethren, and they are unawares brought in. That is, they came in secretly. He said they came in privily to spy out our liberty. So they came in by sneaking in. They crept in. They sneaked into the church. They came in as wolves in sheep's clothing. And that simply means that when they first came into these churches, they appeared to be loving. They talked in a nice and a friendly way until they could get their foot in the door. And then when they gained the brethren's confidence, they came out with their doctrine. And when they started teaching that doctrine, they would not stop until they had torn churches apart. And this is how some brethren act. Now remember, he's talking about brethren in the church doing this. He's not talking about people outside of those churches. He's talking about people who got into those congregations. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and Jude, verse 4, that those kind of people sneak into churches. They came in, Paul said in verse 4, to spy out our liberty. What kind of liberty is he talking about? What is the freedom that Paul says these false brethren were trying to take away from these Christians? Well, it was the freedom to either keep Old Testament traditions or not keep them. As a matter of individual choice, these Gentile Christians had the right to decide whether they were going to be circumcised or not. It was not a matter of salvation. It was not a matter of heaven and hell. They could either do that or not do it. It would not help them in their spiritual state or hurt them at all. So they had the freedom to choose to be circumcised or not circumcised. They had the freedom to choose whether to eat pork or not eat pork, or to rest on the Sabbath or not rest on the Sabbath, as long as they were not doing it as a matter of salvation. And as long as they didn't bind it on others, Paul said, you're free to do what you want to do. And that's the liberty that he talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. In verse 4, he also says that they wanted to spy out this liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And that's the same kind of bondage that Peter was talking about in Acts 15, verse 10, when he said, why are you putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? Acts 15, verse 1. Paul says in verse 5 that he did not give in to these false brethren for 1 minute. He refused to surrender 1 inch. He said, to whom we gave place by subjection, that is, we did not submit to their doctrine, no, not for an hour. that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul did not give in to their doctrine. Paul would not compromise. He didn't say, well, it wouldn't hurt to have these Gentiles circumcised, and I don't want to argue about it. The Bible says that he stood his ground, and he said, we did not give in, no, not for an hour. And in our way of saying it, he was saying, we didn't give in for 1 minute. And we have to admire Paul for what he did. Because after you've argued with somebody time and time again, you get tired of it. Especially if you're debating something that is clear in the scriptures. You get tired of arguing, and especially if you're arguing with a family member or a good friend, and you just want peace, it can be tempting to say, well, let's not fuss about this anymore. And it can be tempting to go from there and say, well, I can live with a few changes. I can compromise. I can give in a little bit to what you're saying. But not Paul. Paul stood his ground, and Paul would not give in when the discussion was about a matter of salvation. Now, on matters of opinion, in matters of judgment, Paul said, I became all things to all men. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 22. But not when it came to salvation. Not when it came to matters of heaven and hell. And Paul made this stand because it was the truth. He didn't make this stand because the other leaders in the church at Jerusalem said it. And this is what he explains in verse 6. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, there were men in the church at Jerusalem who seemed to be somewhat. They seemed to be something. And we know who those people were, at least some of them, because in verse 9 he says, when James and Cephas, that is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, these were men in the church who had a name and they did have influence. Now let's stop here and observe that Paul did not say that they thought that they were something. He's not saying that James and Peter and John were arrogant. As a matter of fact, we find Peter telling Cornelius, when Cornelius fell down at his feet in Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, the Bible says that Peter took him up and said, stand up, for I myself also am a man. I am a man just like you are. So Paul is not accusing them of being prideful here. He's talking about their influence and their name among the brethren. And we need to observe also that Paul is not being resentful toward them. He's not being sarcastic here. He's not being a smart aleck. He is simply saying, it doesn't matter who they are. They're men just like I am. They didn't invent the gospel any more than I did. They were just messengers like Paul was. So Paul's attitude was this. He says in verse 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. That is, God does not play favorites. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Paul's attitude was this. It makes no difference to me who they were. The only thing that matters is the truth. It's sad, but this does matter to a lot of people. Many people are more influenced by who said something than what was said. And on the other hand, if a humble Christian woman or a preacher who's not well known says something, they don't pay much attention to it. They may even reject it or scoff at it. But if their favorite preacher or a priest or a well-known dynamic speaker or author says it, they'll take it as gospel, and they'll take what he says over the Bible. Why is Paul bringing this up? It's because the gospel he taught them was true, and it didn't matter who the man was that said it, because the gospel is true regardless of who the messenger is.